What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Week.
What up, it's Charles Chuck.
What's going on? You got Matt or Haz, another episode of Tweak Talks coming live at you. Well, not live, recorded live, but you know, it is what it is. No Marcus this week, unfortunately. He's got family stuff going on, so we'll catch him next week. And I just really have had something on my mind, and it's that I just think if dash grab and dash attack are a key part of your game plan in the big 2025, then frankly, you're just behind an ultimate. Gavin, thoughts?
Disagree entirely.
I, bro, okay. Before we get into the around the horn, Gavin had that thought while we were in Discord the other day. He just started spamming
Not for the
about,
first time, but I
no,
talked about
but
it, yeah.
it has been manifesting for a while. Like
Yeah.
you've been having this thought for a
I
little
have
while.
random Smash rants all the time, yeah.
It very, and a lot of people I think on Twitter said this too, is very compared to your swordsman rant, you know, your sword user rant. But
Where I just, it feels like I can't get my thoughts across and I'm trying so hard.
if only you had a platform instead of engaging on Twitter and typing thoughts at 2 in the morning, if only you had a platform that you could sit here and talk
Could be
about your
cool,
thoughts
but don't have that.
on. Yeah, it's too bad you don't, right? That would be great. I
Unfortunately.
literally last night I was like, I'm fixing my sleep schedule. I'm going to bed early. I did, and I woke up, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like 2,000 likes. I was like, what happened? Sonics is in there, like you missed the game. I was like, damn, bro, this is crazy. I was like, so yeah, we're happy to talk about dash grabs and dash attacks today. We watched some good old-fashioned Japanese Smash action. It was fantastic, as it always is. I was gonna say almost always, but just always is, and I had a good time of it. What's going on, guys? How are you doing, Charles?
I'm doing good. Got back from SmashCon last week and kind of had a week to reset from all the traveling. Hawaii to East Coast is quite the trek. So yeah, all recovered up, got back to work. Only thing I was a little bummed out was I was planning on going to Pokemon Worlds. It was gonna be on like the same weekend as Void's birthday, and friend of the show, Zoinks, was gonna get me into the event. But just had some family stuff come up, so I had to get back home after SmashCon as soon as possible. So, I mean, other than that, it was still fun watching Worlds, though. I had a great time watching pretty much every single event at Worlds, so that was really cool. I mean, just man, Pokemon Company really leveling up. They had an arena this time, so and even like me and Haz has worked with the Unite casters before. Like, I mean, it's been a while now, but like I would say like 2 years ago we were dabbling in commentating Unite. So always cool to see the Unite commentators killing it per usual. So it's really sick to see that. And even like I've been getting into the Pokemon TCG, and it was really, I mean, honestly, just watching a TCG in general have that kind of production level and stuff like that, I think it's very difficult to stream a TCG tournament. You know, it's not as straightforward as something like a Smash tournament or a fighting game tournament or just a video game in general, right? There's cards, there's like it can be kind of hard to see sometimes, right? When you're trying to do the best shot you can, but like sometimes there's glares, there's sleeves, there's a whole bunch of things. So I think just the visual of everything for Pokemon Worlds is great, and I just had a great time. And I know we were in Discord throughout the whole weekend, kind of jumping in and out of all the different games. So, out of good. What about you, Hazzy?
Yeah, I had a blast watching Pokemon Worlds was on. Like I said, I have to admit, and I know we're going to talk about it later in the show, or at least we plan on it. I kind of hate that I have to admit this, but I love watching Yara play. The only reason I hate to admit that is because I fucking hate Samus. I hate playing against Samus. Like, I just think a character that is so kind of just cut and dry in the way that they ledge trap, the way they play the game, they're neutral
What?
about it,
Very complex character. What are you talking
dude.
about?
But when, man,
So
I
many
really got,
layers.
dude, but watching Yara play, I was like, and I know it's been known, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like we've even talked about it before, but holy shit, I love watching that guy play some Smash Brothers. The way he moves on that character, his decision making, like he's really quick with everything he does, and obviously he's gonna hit the Samus flow at some point or another, you know what I mean? Charge shot is still very good, even if you know you're the flashiest Samus in the world, you're still gonna do it. But I had a blast watching Yara. Pokemon Worlds was very cool. They had something, the Unite stuff was amazing. Like Unite was great this year. I think y'all know Charles and I dabble in Unite, as you said.
Crustle MVP.
My goat,
Russell,
dude.
MVP. That's all I gotta say about.
It was very funny with the skin out as well, with like the
cake skin,
like Christmas cake or something. Yeah.
That's right. My
Peru with the first world win too. So NA's got two. Japan has one. Japan was in a position to get two in a row,
back
just like NA
back,
did. Yep. Yeah, but Peru ended up taking it. So like the storylines coming in, very fun to watch.
Totally.
And the Pokemon too. The Pokemon in like throughout the tournament were very fun to watch too.
It seemed like a pretty good meta. Yeah, I've been not plugged in as much, but the other thing I loved is that their stage, was cool. They must have had some integration in with the game where the stage showed on the stage floor itself the Pokemon that were picked and their health state as the game was going on. So
dude, the arena was so sick,
dude. If your Mewtwo gets hit hard, his health on the stage goes down to like yellow, like half health and stuff. Like it was really cool, and it just makes you think of how. You know, obviously that data and stuff's like protected, and like getting a connection to it or API or whatever they did is probably tough. But damn, getting it can really bring that production to the next level. So I know we were taking notes, you know, talking to Devin a bit throughout the weekend, and he was geeking over that stuff. So hopefully it can translate to Smash somehow. We can steal some of that greatness. But I thought it was good. The other pieces, which I don't think I talked about last week, because I think I've literally been doing it for about a week now, is I started playing Marvel Rivals. Right? Yeah, I missed the initial hype for that game, but they added my boy Blade, and I was like, fuck, he looked fun. It was like, all right, I already really like Blade as a character. I think he's fucking dope. And then they made him, and he looks like Virgil in a hero shooter, and I was like, I gotta check this out real quick. So I've been playing with some of our friends, and it's weird because it sucks being the new guy and just really not having any idea what to do or where to go or how to win or like why we're winning or why we're losing. But I played enough to unlock ranked, so I'm like, I started playing ranked, and then that sucked really bad, and I couldn't tell if I was the problem or not, because I'm just that clueless, and which probably means I was, but I was like, well, I'm not dying. I don't know, dude. So it's like a whole, it really reminds me of going through the Dota grind from the beginning again, or the Unite grind again, and I really respect people who can jump around and start trying to play new games competitively, because I went through it with Street Fighter as well. I'm like, dude, I just don't think I'm cut out for learning a new game. Like, I'm too fucking unk at this point. Like, I just can't do it. But then I stuck with it, and I was like, dude, I learned a tank. I learned Magneto, my goat. How could I not? I should have been playing him anyway. So like, I thought I was a Blade one trick, which is a huge part of the problem. Now I play Magneto and Rocket Raccoon, who is Charles's recommendation, and also very broken right now. So I have a healer, a tank, and a DPS. I'm good to go. So I've been playing, and it's been going a lot better. And I've been like watching, it's fun to get into a game too, like just learn all the new shit, like all like, oh, this character used to be broken. Like, I don't know. I love all the lore catching up. So I feel bad that I missed out, but I think it's a fun game and the cosmetics are incredible. Like as a comic book fan, I love seeing all like the crazy crossover events or like the what if skins kind of come through and stuff. So it's really cool. So I've been enjoying my time in Marvel Rivals. I mean, I'm truly a week old to the game. So like, I get flamed like, oh, you suck. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, tell me something I don't know, man. Like, I'm brand new. Of course. What am I supposed to do? So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. Gav, what's going on, man?
Not much. Obviously, I've been playing a lot of Smash. Was thinking about some things. But, yeah, I did enjoy watching Worlds off and on. Still big into Yu-Gi-Oh! And stuff.
YCS happened, right?
Yeah, YCS Vancouver happened, which is crazy because it happened at the same time as Worlds, so it really puts into perspective how much Yu-Gi-Oh!
Much Konami
sucks, to be honest. Yu-Gi-Oh! Just really fucking sucks. It wasn't even streamed, let alone like keeping up with
Like that's so whack. Like I don't know, man. Like
a lot of them aren't streamed. It's like a coin toss if it gets streamed or not. I mean it's like night and day the
prizing, like how much
card games, let alone just like the companies, I guess.
Oh, there's so the arena.
It's unfortunate. Like it as cool as Yu-Gi-Oh is, like Pokemon is like a whole different level. I thought the Kirby Air Riders direct this morning was really cool. But I'm gonna sound a bit like an asshole here. When you, as a Smash fan, when you see something like this Kirby Air Riders direct, And not only does it remind you of Smash, it's just straight up like Smash assets used in a game. You can't help but really want a new Smash Bros. So as cool as the Kirby Air Ride thing was, it's like, damn. Like, when you're straight up looking at, like, your thing, just in a different lighting, it's like, I really want Smash.
Now, man. You didn't see think it. We were getting anything. You didn't think we were getting anything Smash related today, did you?
No, of course not.
Okay. Just clarify. I didn't think you did, but I just wanted to be clear.
I'm just saying it tugs at your heart in a weird way, as cool as the product looks.
We had a lot of the Smash Run assets, right? Like the boosts and like all, remember that, right?
Yeah, just the UI, like, you know, the music from the original Kirby, like even the original Kirby Air Ride was like, the menu's the same as Melee, the music is similar to like Melee, and it's just like...
Is it because it's made by the same dude? Maybe? Thoughts?
Yes.
guys?
So it's just... It just makes me feel a little weird, but the game looks really cool, and I don't want to be too harsh or like impulsive with this point I'm about to make, but
oh snap,
Mario Kart World did seem to fall a little flat for a lot of people. I at least from the communities and people I see online, and I know this game is very different. It might seem similar on the surface. Obviously, it's very different. But I will say this game looks a lot more... The word I keep using is this game looks a lot more digestible. I think Mario Kart World was a lot, but at the same time, very little. And this game looks like a lot more like something I can get behind. And like it just looks more digestible. I don't want to be too quick to shoot Mario Kart World down, but I do think they should have had a wave of new content by now. I also think that's kind of a blunder on them. I don't know when this next direct is, but I do think they probably should have been doing something with Mario Kart World by now, and they haven't, so that's also like another issue. Yeah, overall I think this game looks more interesting, I'm not gonna lie. Maybe I'm just older and like it's like a scale that I can like get behind a little bit easier, because Mario Kart World is, like I said, it's a lot. But yeah, kind of like a rant in my head that started this morning, and I'm glad I have an outlet for that.
Yeah, you didn't live stream it, did you? I was looking for you this morning.
No, I slept through it. I woke up at like noon, I'm not gonna lie.
What the heck? You just tweet that shit and just pass out, ignore the world. Good lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
but yeah, and I did enjoy watching Old Core as well. Just like Haz, like I'm not the biggest Samus fan or anything, but Yara is very clean. He's very smooth when he plays. But I didn't get to finish the whole bracket. He made it all the way to Winners Finals, so it was looking like Samus might get her first major win, I think. At least that's what I was hearing being rumored. I don't know the exact truth of that, but apparently Samus has not won a major, so Yara came pretty close. But what's equally impressive as Yara's run is her being able to win from losers. That was really, really impressive. I didn't expect to wake up to that, honestly. But low-key, my bad for doubting her, not gonna lie. Because, yeah, that's about it, though. But yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
Kind of jumped all over the place. I think probably the number one thing I want to talk about is that, let's talk about dash attacks.
And dash grabs.
First option. Can you... For those who haven't seen the tweet, it's there. but do you want to just... And I saw you kind of... I
mean, we should probably read the tweet out for the audio listeners, no?
Sure. I like it. You want Gavin to? Or should one of us do it for you?
There's a lot of tweets. There's like double digit.
That's amount. Wait, what? Just... Here, I'm going to go to Gavin's Twitter.
All right.
Let's see.
All right. Oh, that's the that's the clarification.
Jeez, how many tweets did you make?
I just told you.
All right, ready?
Holy crap.
I think If dash grab and dash attack are a key part of your game plan, then you are behind an ultimate. For them to be consistently successful, I think they require heavy layering slash momentum. They are essentially an invitation for your opponent to have a deeper decision, to have deeper decision making than you. With that being said, there are always exceptions, which is true. I know, because everyone's like, what about Greninja? It's like, okay, well, a dash or Fox, right? A key dash grab can sometimes really swing the game into your favor, but I still think that you can consistently win without putting the game on the line like that. So what you're really talking about is like the risk reward of these options and like how players rely on them too much, or what do you...
You're pretty much saying everyone sucks at this game?
What the...
I think people might need to reevaluate some things, and I think it's even more proven by the fact that someone will be like, oh, but I play X character and it's really important to my game plan. It's like, you are like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You think it's the core part of your game plan just because that dash check is better than others. Just because your dash grab slash burst option slash dash check is better than the average character doesn't mean those options are good, quote unquote, options in Smash. If you have the best dash grab in the game in Ultimate, it's still a dash grab at the end of the day. And dash grab, not only do I think it's relatively weak, most people say this, a lot of people say this all the time, that dash grab is kind of a weak option. So why are we relying on it just because yours is better than another character? Or like, there's a lot of examples, because a lot of people think, oh, but I play this character and my dash check is really good. If anything, it's even more important that you consider what I'm saying. The threat of your really good Greninja dash attack is significantly stronger than using it. And it just
also just depends on how safe said thing is. I don't think any dash grab is really safe. I think there are safer dash attacks.
Quicker. Like Greninja... Quicker is like usually the big one, like a burstier quicker, like Wolf dash grab. A lot of this does stem from me being a fan of Wolf.
Okay.
And I think in order for a character to keep up, they're going to have to leave those mindsets behind, even if those things are better than the average character. So many Palutena players think they have to play a certain way, and they don't. And I think it's like an outdated play style. I could go on forever. It's really difficult. If anything, it's actually harder to explain on the podcast than it is on Twitter.
No, this is super easy. You're just telling everyone to camp. That's all you're doing. The fuck,
like,
you're just telling everyone to time each other out.
I go on to explain that, like, these tools existing, like, you don't have to use them to collect all the information and get what you need from your opponent. Like, if you're in the range, like, things are already happening and developing already, so like, why do you have to go for something punishable? You know what I mean?
So never commit.
I mean,
ideally.
Kind of, but it's more so about like the decision-making tree and like the conditioning and information that follows from a lot of these things. And I think a lot of people just really, really have it backwards. And like I said, there's always exceptions. And I do think there's really noticeable differences between certain types of burst options compared to the average like lazy one I'm talking about. Because sometimes, like, getting one of those burst options, like a key dash grab while you're losing and the momentum swings back in your favor and you get, like, an edge guard or something, whatever. Like, those feel really different and really, really impactful. But like I said, I still think you can minimize this risk and, like, change your mindset and still win consistently without relying on these things. And a lot of people think I'm saying, like, a lot of people think it just doesn't apply to their character, but it does. And some people are saying, well, my character doesn't have these options, so, you know, what do I do? And it's like, well, if you only have one burst option, then it has very little layering, and it's exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think people maybe have a hard time building their building around their win conditions without using them extensively, I guess. you know.
Did this thought come through because of like some recent lessons? I'm very curious. I think this line of thought makes a lot of sense. I think just even when I would before when I just coached anyone like on Metafire or whatever, right? One thing I would notice, especially with lower level players, it's like it's very hard for me to critique your play because if you constantly commit and make guesses, I can't really like critique your neutral if you're always doing forward smash when your opponent's at 30 or you spam dash attack. Like there is no neutral because you're constantly like going into your opponent and being like, I'm going to force an RPS and I hope I win it. Now here's again, I'm going to force another RPS and I hope I'm going to win it, right? Because that's what dash attack and dash grab is. You have your opponent in a certain spot and then you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to dash in because my character can clear the distance between me and your character and I'm going to force rock, paper, scissor. Are you going to shield my grab? Are you going to jump over my dash attack? Are you going to jump over my grab? Right? Like, it's like a pseudo RPS.
I just think that whole situation that happens from like the dash up, it's just such a low level, like outdated thought process.
I think the way you, one thing that I really liked, I mean, one of our earlier interactions, like even within Smash 4, and it's something that actually like this experience stood out to me a lot. And this is before we even like hung out, like we knew of each other, but we didn't really hang out like a lot. I was talking to you and I was like, man, I'm having a lot of trouble against these Mii fighters because there was a Mii gunner, Amir. Shout out to Amir in SoCal. I'd always have trouble ledge trapping, and ledge trapping was super important in Smash 4. But Mii fighters specifically had like a 10 frame delay on their normal getup. So it was just different. Yeah, it was just different. And I'd always be like, man, I'm trying to ledge trap this character, and I always get fucked up in reversal. And then Gavin was like, why are you ledge trapping that character? I was like, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? That's like when you put someone on the ledge, you ledge trap. And he was like, the Miis are so shit, just let them back on stage because you're not going to lose on stage. The only situation in Smash 4 where you lose to Miis is like the cheesy shit where it's just like, oh, you thought you could do this, or you're used to this timing, and then instead of the Mii player beating your broken neutral character, they're like, oh, you're unfamiliar and you like tried the up tilt normal get up, you whiffed it, I grabbed you, I threw you off stage and I edge guarded you. But like if you let a Mii back on stage and Gavin was like, I just run to the middle of the stage, I let him back on, like who cares? I'm Cloud. Like this is when Gavin was playing Cloud, but like he was like, I'm Cloud, I let him back on. It's like, okay, cool. Mii gunner's on stage and
this
I'm
sucks,
Cloud.
Yeah,
like congratulations. Like so I
zero chance for reversal.
I do love picking your brain when it comes to Smash in general. So that's why I'm asking, like, when did you get this thought? Where did you get it? Because I think you have a very unique out of the box way of thinking about the game. And I think that's obviously like it helps you with your journey, right? Like I think because you think out of the box like that, you've had a lot of success within Smash. Obviously your resume is like extremely stacked. So yeah, I think it's an interesting thought. And like the way I think also you have a very late game way of thinking about Smash, whereas like you kind of look at Smash and you're like, okay, well this is working now, but like players should be doing X, Y, or Z, right? So I do love picking your brain when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Think of layer two to that, the burst options in neutral. What is something people do in Ultimate a lot? Whole hop, landing aerials. So it just loses to layer two, and layer two isn't even that strong in Ultimate right now. So why are we like, you know what
and,
I mean?
Even, well, I feel like what you're trying to say too, it's not about like,
it's just an invitation for like, you know what it reminds me of? Sorry to cut you off, but
no, go for it.
Something I didn't mention this in the tweets, but I mentioned it with like, I talked about this a lot with you guys and Jude and Aaron. And something I really disliked seeing when Ultimate came out was people doing neutral tech on the platform. When they get put on platforms, they would neutral tech because it's the quickest way for them to like get something out after the tech because they're trying to get a reversal. So they're testing their opponent to see if they will properly
delay the follow,
extend their hit, and like when they're tech chasing, and it's the laziest option. And not only is it the laziest option, it is the easiest to destroy someone for a neutral tech because they get to fall and time their falling aerial and do their training mode kill confirm slash combo. And this type of neutral, like, or decision making with the dash grab, burst option, dash tech, I would categorize it in the same way I'd categorize that neutral tech on a platform. I would say it's the same amount of laziness.
Yeah.
And that's like another comparison just to try to make it make sense to people.
I think what you're more concerned about, Yavin, when you're thinking about the scenario of dash grab, dash attack, or just like any burst options in general, right? It's not about the actual dash grab or dash attack. It's about when you dash up to someone and the threat of that is there and you don't do it, but you see what they do.
Yeah, you're sacrificing so much, so many
threat of it.
Yeah. You're going to, when you enter the space, your opponent is either going to respond or not. And this is infinite information already. You're already learning a lot. And that small hiccup is so much more important than like committing to something. And like I said in the thread, your opponent's already playing around these tools. And if they're not, you probably have nothing to worry. You're probably going to beat them anyway, right? If they're like not aware of like key things in Smash, like who cares? Like why are we even talking about it then? But most people are going to preemptively playing around your character or like whatever it is. And
they'll understand the threat of your character.
That building block is already there. So like, why are you trying to start it? It's already there. And a lot of the time, like it gets even worse. Like, you know how many like players still burst into a cornered opponent? Still. Like, we're just sacrificing all of our stage control and corner pressure. Why? It doesn't matter if it takes 2 minutes for your opponent to leave the corner. You are in a winning position and you have to accept that. Like, you have to realize that. You don't have to run into the corner and get spiked by your opponent.
You don't. It's not about getting the hit. I feel like a lot of players in that situation, yeah, they're like, I'm in advantage. I need to get a hit.
These
right?
situations repeat themselves, all of them. So why are you making such a poorly layered decision instead of collecting information from a situation that's going to happen again? Like, why are we just, you're just throwing everything away. And it's one of those things where even if it works, does that mean you're right? Probably not. Even if it works, everyone has, if you run up to Luigi and dash attack him and it hits, you're wrong. You are wrong.
Yes.
I just think the specific examples of dash attack and dash grab are interesting, coming off the heels of three Luigi's making a top eight at one point, and how broken.
Well, that's the
dash...
thing. I will never take results into account ever.
No.
It's not worth it. It's not worth
it. Well, I think what you're doing here is you're trying to talk about a concept, right?
Yeah.
Not people hone in and say, well, I have to dash attack because I'm a fox or whatever, right? And it's like, okay, yes, of course. Whatever, you know, like that's fine. But what you're really saying is that people don't consider the risk reward or what they might actually be giving up or risking by doing these options too much, right? Or something like this. Is that closer or no?
I think so, but it's also important to consider how valuable the threat of the tool is rather than using it. The threat of it is so much stronger than the tool itself.
Guy loves talking about threats, you know, Smash 4 play Donkey Kong. I would watch Gavin's girl. Donkey Kong get someone a ding dong percent, never throw a grab, and what Gavin would just beat the shit out of him. Gavin's like, all right, cool. I know for a fact that you are just like terrified of grab,
yes.
So you're just not gonna shield. So then Gavin's
three stock. When Ultimate came out, I would three stock top players with Wario without wafting once.
You know, I think it's like a good example of this, and it kind of bakes into that idea of you saying, even if dash attack or dash grab is a key part of your game plan, this applies to you even more. I think Paris is, to be honest with you. I think he follows this principle really well, where if he overcommits in certain parts, especially as Fox, he's probably tossed off stage and he's dead, especially against a competent top player.
I will say, Paris is incredible at layering these things.
Yes.
And, like, it's not only because it applies a little less because with the numbers and like the pressure. Paris is also really good at the layering of this because he does the jab checks. he, you know, he's using a lot of the full hops and the fastballs, and, you know, sometimes he'll brute force a grab. Like, the risk reward is heavily considered, but I still think it is overall an outdated concept, considering how many characters don't even have to play this minigame to win consistently. So in a way, it reminds me of my sword character rant, because it kind of stems from similar lines of thought. Because there's a lot more to this thread, because we said the first two, and I went on to say I dislike most of the decision-making I see, rash decisions that lack information or positional awareness. Like I said, like, doing this while you have controlled more stage than your opponent is always like mind-blowing to me. The other side of the coin is decisions not really having to be made at all, because ultimate kind of sucks. But it just doesn't apply to some characters just because they're so broken. But, and then I said a lot of people think they have to show their opponent something in order for certain conditions to start developing, which I'll dive more into. And I said, you don't. It's already happening. And if your opponent isn't aware of certain things, you probably had nothing to worry about anyway. So I go on to say, the existence of your win condition is more important than using it. Do you really have to swing your disjoint at mid-range to establish something between your opponent? You will probably be scrambling and playing on the back foot for the entire time without even realizing it. Like, let's say this, let's say you're playing against Mario, right? And you're Belmont, and you're at mid-range, right? And you start up that F tilt.
Dash grab. Oh. Dash attack.
Well, obviously dash grab.
You start up that F tilt, and in the startup of the move, Mario inches a little bit forward and shields it, right? And it's like, the situation's just going to repeat itself. You're never going to be in a comfortable position for Richter, which is pretty specific, right? You want to be at a specific range. But if you're so quick to let things rip because it's like, oh, I'm outranging Mario, and he's just getting closer and closer, now you're going to be losing to be brutally honest, poor gameplay options, like rolling in or something. Like, you're going to have to deal with that, where if you did literally anything else, Mario wouldn't be able to just roll in because you're pre-positioning yourself better instead of preemptively pressing these buttons. And that's where things like slingshot are really valuable. I think people have a really hard time attaching real value to slingshot because it's so vague and ambiguous. But this is a situation where slingshot is so strong, because you're shaving off all of those numbers while repositioning in a way that's better for your character, instead of like scrambling on reaction to seeing your opponent get closer to you. Yeah.
I think that players, that thought, especially in the heat of competition,
yes,
does not come as often as it should, which I think is a fair thing for you to point out, right? Like, they don't think, oh, I shouldn't do this because, like, it's risky, or because I'll, like, giving up stage control or whatever, like, hitting a dash check on shield or whatever is tough or bad, or whiffing a grab in that spot is bad. It's like, but if I hit that grab or if I hit that dash attack, shit, that's going to be a back, that's going to be whatever. Like, if I hit that dash attack, man, I'm living, you know?
Yeah. Thinking about the reward more than what they're giving up. Yeah. I don't
and
think
that's why I'm always correct. Suggesting yes.
yeah.
the
yeah.
fact that.
Exactly.
I think that mindset, kind of makes it seem like they think this opportunity is do or die, when so many situations repeat themselves in Smash that it's okay that you're not going to go for what you want to do. You know, oh, my opponent's cornered, I'm going to do this or that. Like, the corner is like one of the things that happens every game a million times. Like, it's all right. Like, and if you're not collecting information from your opponent getting out of the corner, then what are we even doing? Like, yeah, there's no consistency for winning.
I think people rush to make decisions a lot is like an easy way to put it. Is like, yeah. you're over here, I'm here. If I hit a dash attack, that's really good. You know, yeah. Or if I think you're gonna shield because you think I'm gonna dash attack, so I'm gonna dash shield or dash grab instead. Right. And yeah. I just think the specific example of you saying dash attack and dash grab is hilarious. I mean, especially considering the characters, but I know why. I know you like, there must be a specific reason behind that, But my two characters, like, those are the last two fucking options I ever think of doing anyway. I'm like, dude, dash attack.
Yeah, your character is way too ass to be dash attacking or dash grabbing. Chill. You dash grab. Your ass is not a top tier.
But then I was like, I do have a lot of success. But then it's like the opposite side, where the reason I don't even think of those options is because those, like, obviously, maybe I should be dash grabbing a little. I don't think dash attacks ever really, especially for Ken, I don't think dash attacks. Dash. Some attack, not specifically dash attack with him, you know, like dash F tilt.
Your Tatsu is like your dash, like burst something. Option.
Yeah, sure. Burst, whatever burst dash attack like option is the point. And I was like, damn, maybe I should think about doing stuff like that a little
bit.
And
approaching
more.
Full hop Nair with Ken would be very similar.
Approaching, yes. Like
you can find a way to make sense of what I'm saying, regardless of what tools you do or don't have. The Richter F tilt thought process I'm just describing is still the same type of concept. Except it's about your opponent getting closer to you. So
it's like you're just hitting that button because it feels appropriate at the time without realizing what you're giving up when it doesn't work. Is that what you're saying?
It just puts you in a spot where you're on the back foot, like almost permanently with that line of thinking, where you're always like trying to position yourself after the fact rather than like pre-positioning.
Yeah.
You know what to me feels like the updated dash grab or dash attack, quote unquote, of today's meta, and I feel like I see more players doing it. It's a dash up parry. I feel like dash up parry is something that's not as committal as something like a dash grab or a dash attack, but it is risky. You are dropping your shield, so if your opponent does mash at a time where it's like a little bit delayed, because there are option selects that you can do with parry, which I'm still amazed that players aren't abusing, but there are OSs, which is essentially like it's a term from fighting games where you layer different options. So it's like, oh, if this happens, I'll mash these sequence of buttons. And then like, if this happens, my character will do this. And if this other thing happens, my character will do this. It kind of like covers both if you don't know what option selects are, but yeah, it feels like ultimate players nowadays kind of go up for the dash up parry. And then it's just like, okay, if I get parry, I Luigi up tilt and I get the stock, right? Stuff like that. So it feels like the safer version. It's not as committal. It's more of like, it almost feels like the Smash 4 dash up shield. If you played Smash 4 dash up shield was like a very strong option. I don't think dash up shield is necessarily like super weak in ultimate. There are characters that can still dash up shield, and you still see dash up shield used a lot in competitive ultimate, but in Smash 4 it was OD because like shield was just crazy strong in Smash 4. So it's interesting because in Brawl and Smash 4, I always explain it like this: in those games you could apply offensive pressure with defense, and I think in ultimate you can still do that, but it's just not as strong, which does make the game have It does make the game a bit more fun to watch, because Brawl and Smash 4 were, as you guys know, like omega defensive in terms of like the options and stuff. So, yeah, I think the new age version is just dash up parry, I think, is something a little bit more modern, not as outdated as something as, you know, dash up shield or dash grab. So, yeah, I don't know if you feel the same, Gavin.
I think what you're saying makes sense. At the same time, like, I think it's also important to consider maybe approaching like a character length or two farther away and then doing things like that too. Just because you don't always want to fully go into their bubble. You also want to make it seem like you're manipulating your own bubble and maybe making like trying to bait them into entering your space instead. But yeah, what you're saying makes sense, and it's like a good supplement.
I'm a huge fan of like players that walk in and out of like your opponent's,
you're looking for
range.
Responses, and you're just manipulating things just a little bit to see if they'll make a mistake or if they're thinking you're making a mistake.
I think a lot of players are just kind of scrambling and like they're fighting for their lives and don't have as much knowledge as they need to try to make an informed decision, like, oh, I shouldn't dash attack or dash grab or whatever X option in the situation because it's obvious, or if it doesn't work that's bad. And I think, dude, this reminds me of, like, as an adjacent point, like, just reviewing VODs and how important it is. Because, bro, like, if you watch your VODs back and you're doing, like, these terrible dash attacks, and then, like, similar to the me thing, right, Charles? Like, if you go to try to reversal me over and over and it just keeps or you try to ledge trap a me and he keeps reversaling you, catching that or seeing that in your VODs or just understanding that is, I think, an important thing. Sorry, my camera goofed up.
He's getting hacked.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, I just think it's important to think about this concept. I don't know. The thing that killed me about it, Gav, is just how hyper-specific it was. Like, those two options are just so funny, especially in a cast that, like, the cast is 100 characters. Like, there's, you know what I mean? There's just no way. Like, could you name a specific character that this really applies to or not? I know it doesn't really matter, but I'm kind
of
dying to
know. I think there's a bunch of player bases that play in this type of way that should be reevaluating things, especially if they think they're limited to having to do it. You know, there's Wolf, there's Palutena, there's Mithra, there's Fox.
Sounds like you're naming all the all-arounders or just like above average in every Ninja category.
There's even Diddy Kong with things like Dash Attack.
I was thinking Diddy Kong too. Flip.
There's a lot. Just like entering that space and initiating Smash Ultimate, I think is just not great. So I did go on another rant a few hours ago to clarify some things because I don't know. I said to clarify a couple things. If you play a character with a dash attack, dash grab, burst option that you consider to be your strongest tools are very important to your game plan, it's actually all the more reason to consider what I'm saying, which I've kind of explained here. Your opponent is already heavily influenced by the existence of those tools. The amount of information you get just from that alone is enough to potentially win games consistently, especially if you're collecting information from your opponent's response to being within range, which we already talked about a lot as well. I just think that's a lot more important than letting it rip every few seconds. And then for the sword character thing, here's my attempt at explaining. This one is just probably even more difficult to explain. A disjoint being relevant throughout a character's moveset used to be a potential X factor in the design, like when there was less characters, less Smash games, less characters. Now it's either a standard or the character has something completely game-changing instead, or both. Sword characters Hero. Don't have to play the game, but they are watching from just outside, so they're barely not playing the game. They're barely like avoiding interaction consistently, right? Because they're outranging you and they have the disjoint. So they're not using their body to play. They're using the disjoint. So they're barely just not playing Smash over and over and over and over, which is really strong. That's really, really good. But as Smash progresses, what makes a character strong also progresses. Other characters can dominate without having to even consider playing the game. They're not even close to that kind of concept. They're not even there. Snake's not even there, whatever. Or when he is there.
The other side of that wall, chilling.
Yeah. Or when he is there, when he's in it, it's invincible or whatever. So while also having the option of doing this at the same time, they can still be Lucina when they have to be a lot of the time. Also, it is extremely disingenuous to call Steve a sword character. Don't do that. That's really frustrating. Don't do that. You're lying.
It's an axe, okay? Baron Bear, it's a pickaxe, all right?
Not even that. It's just like, come on. Like,
I think Charles was saying because he cheats so much. Like,
you're really going to categorize, Marth and Steve? Good luck with that.
Ike and Steve, everyone's always comparing those two. The classics.
I love sword characters. I play Core and Steve.
Yeah, Min Min Steve, my favorite sword.
And I said, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean I think playing a sword character is more difficult than the others. In fact, I'd probably lean towards thinking they're too easy. But the ceiling is too low. Consistently barely avoiding interaction is weaker than completely avoiding it. And then I went on to explain my original reason for playing Diddy Kong. I actually explained this to Charles while I was doing it many years ago. My original reasoning for playing Diddy Kong was that I thought items were incredibly strong in Ultimate. You can beat spot dodge, canceling, and low lag without even being there. You're not even close to it, but you're threatening a punish to it. So there's so many things, variables, that are no longer there. Free information all the time from your win condition as well. Like, you know, similar to what I've been explaining this whole podcast, holding banana is significantly stronger than using it. Significantly. It's not even close. And if your opponent's getting hit by every banana, this conversation doesn't even apply. It's fine. Like, you're going to win the game. You're fine. And I said, this idea worked out really well, obviously, with the Diddy Kong stuff. Like, it worked out. But obviously, over time, there were bigger fish to fry than beating low lag and spot dodge canceling. A lot of evil things developed over time that were much bigger issues than low lag aerials. That's like a blessing in comparison, you know, to what ended up, what Ultimate ended up becoming. And then I said, final thought. Consider this if you are to pick a more standard character. It's just a general thought. Like, I wanted people to think in this way more. If, you know, unless I don't agree, it's fine if you don't agree. I'm always rambling. I would rather play Marth than Lucina. Don't listen to the generic word vomit people say about this game. If you want to win the full bracket and win many full brackets, try to reach a high ceiling. And that was my final thing in my rant. Lots of tweets, but yeah.
So difficult, and I'm sure you feel this probably way more than Charles than I ever do, because everything you say is turbo put under a microscope and like over, like analyzed and talked about and clowned on, including by me today, which is true. I tried to ratio you. It's tough though. You're tough on a ratio.
What'd you say?
Oh, you didn't say.
I did not.
Dang, man, I said, damn.
He's not on Twitter, which is why also, like, when you tweet, people listen and interact, which is like adds to this as well. I said, damn, I woke up today feeling like I should add dash attack and dash grab to my game plan and ultimate. Like without quote retweeting you or anything. Like,
it's I see. That's why.
Yes. Yeah, that's why you didn't see it. Yeah. Maybe I should have quote retweeted you, dang. But like the implication is like I suck, and like you're saying, like, if you're If you are using dash attack and dash grab and ultimate, you suck. And I'm like, damn, maybe I should start using it. Like, I'm so far behind, I'm not even thinking about using it yet. It was like the joke.
I'm looking at it now, and I love that you said smash ultimate with caps. Like,
yes, yeah.
It just sounds like you have no idea. Like you're living under a rock from what I said. Like,
as right,
you just as love I normally smash do ultimate.
When I craft tweets that are, you know, like that, I just copied what you wrote and then I rewrote it. Like, I just changed, you know, the framing and all that stuff. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, sorry. So everything you say is obviously under a huge microscope, and people are going to take it and see it how they want through their lens. Again, the example of I play a sortie and you're saying like, whatever. Oh, I play Lucina. So you're saying I should drop her immediately and pick up Marth. It's like, that's not really what, you know? Definitely yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it's right. But
I'm just trying to help advise people to avoid generic buzz phrases and like following weird rules that don't exist, and like also trying to consider like what a high ceiling is and like trying to help people achieve it. Yeah,
I think it was a good explanation. Yeah. Also, just like, I mean, stating that you think sword characters have been iconic throughout Smash, like
yes,
you said, when the character pool was like a lot lower,
yes,
you know, there's just way less characters, older games. We really got to
a
see
lot
it.
Less, like crazy in LA, crazy designs right? too. Like you could categorize things a lot easier.
Swords yeah. were like the first DLC going into Melee, right?
Yes.
Like getting
yeah,
Marth, exactly. getting Marth. Yeah, that's like the evolution of the game is what
yes.
we're talking about.
And
I'm saying they're behind now.
In terms of Ultimate, it's like somewhere in the middle off, where they're still strong point. Enough, but you can see a trend happening Depends. Throughout the DLC and the updates that if we go into a new game, I just want more people to be thinking that in advance. So they're not surprised if sword characters get more and more outdated, because in order for them to survive, the disjoint has to be the standard, not like the, you know, exciting factor for worth picking them up or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what happened. Like
look at
Cloud.
Hero, like
or Cloud or Hero. Yeah.
Yeah. Cloud can change his stats. He can charge limit. He's changing his moveset. Like he, and also Cloud and Roy is a little bit different because we haven't always had sword characters that like have the potential to just like brute force destroy you like they're a brawler. It wasn't really happening in Melee or Brawl. It wasn't. And in Smash 4, Cloud wasn't even really playing like that either. Roy could try, but he sucked bad.
Yeah.
And now in Ultimate, Roy's like such an iconic thing to Ultimate. Because he's a sword character, but he's beating your ass. Like, and Cloud kind of, especially just Spargo in general, kind of helped Cloud get categorized more closer to Roy than you would expect. And I think that's important to consider why they might be more worth playing despite everything I'm saying, right? Like, I still think it applies to them, and I still feel the way I feel. But, you know, there's a lot of things that help. And but like I said, if you look at Hero, his sword moves aren't very strong by themselves, but he's such a game changing, and he has so many crazy design things that you can see that he's potentially the future for not only a character with a disjoint, but for Smash Bros. In general. And he's like, that's something you need to look for when you're looking into the next game, because I find it highly unlikely that they're going to release a new character that all they do is swing their sword. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible.
No.
But it might fall behind pretty quickly. Byleth did not stick around very long.
I think, well, even then, Byleth had
Ike did not stick around very long.
No, but they had their own X Factor, too, of having a million
weapons.
Yeah,
they tried, but it's just...
Yeah.
There's differences in X Factors, obviously.
Yeah, Steve stuff versus Byleth stuff, true.
Yes, like Jesus Christ.
Well,
yeah.
I feel like
even Byleth's X Factor was like, Byleth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spiking tether recovery, right? Like there was something that's the thing that like stands out with Byleth, but to me, it's just like an overtuned recovery that like also spikes. It's like, all right, let's go grab some existing shit and like mash it together and be like, okay, cool, this is really good, right? Which is fine, but we are definitely on the path of more mechanics being added. And I think Steve is the absolute pinnacle of that from what we've seen, but we can even take it back in time. And I remember there was people when Cloud came out being like, I guess we're just adding fucking final smashes to Smash Brothers competitive, right? Yep. I mean, even think back in Melee. Melee, I believe, was the first game where we had swords, and then also items got added, characters that can pull items. That was a huge game changer.
No, Link, more about Link. Link and...
But like, it's just not as much like 64 is like, I don't know. I'm not really.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah. Like
I'm not really thinking of it in this conversation, but like, yeah, like
that's the 64. I did have items. My bad.
Like,
yeah, no real sword though.
Like Marth and Melee is like a huge X factor, bro. Like,
yeah,
it looks like a DLC character. So, and then going into Brawl, you know, Meta Knight like just changed everything, you know what I mean? And it continues to develop. And disjoints were just have always been looked at as this like the good players like to use them. Like it's kind of like the skillful Smash player likes to use swords. And it's still there's a lot of truth to it, but I just think it's becoming more and more of an outdated mindset, and it's not the recipe to winning that people think it is. And if anything, it has a much lower ceiling than a lot of the other stuff Ultimate provides. Yeah, I'm kind of just rambling, but I just truly believe that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we went into a next game, into a new game, and they keep, you know, revolutionizing things, and we're going to have to change our mindsets with it. And I don't think everyone has done that yet in terms of the player base. And it may sound crazy, but everything I'm saying is like very comparable, and like it stems from a similar line of thinking as to how I think, like what you have to do to win consistently, you know?
Yeah. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I think even when the game first came out, obviously like you and Leo were the leading developers in terms of just like developing the meta. And I know you had very different thoughts about being able to dash in a tilt than everyone else. Everyone immediately was like, oh my goodness, I can dash tilt, which was not a thing available in Smash 4, but you could do it in Ultimate. Everyone's like, man, I can't wait to dash forward and do my tilt. And then Gavin was on Twitter and everyone like kind of flamed you for it, but Gavin was just like, guys, everyone's just going to dash back instead. And look where we're at now. We're at 2025. Dude. And if your character is just not building a wall and hopping on the other side, mining some shit, you're probably dashing back. So...
Dude, yeah. And think about it. I mean, what a nice way to kind of close the conversation. Look at the characters you and Leo were playing at the time when the game first came out. It was like the opposite, where you wanted simple characters that could achieve their goals easily. And as the game got more complex, obviously adding in the X Factor or whatever you want to call it type characters, especially as DLC came out. I mean, neither of you are playing the characters that you really started on. Diddy Kong has an X Factor. You probably hate to admit it, but he really does, of course.
I picked him for a reason. I thought it countered so many mindsets, play styles, characters.
It's very good. And
Banana
and
Leo, is a very fucked up move, yes.
And then
yes.
Leo got Joker, you know what I mean? And you, like you said, Byleth came out, and he went to Byleth for a little bit, and that worked for a little until people really started learning the matchup, and it's like there's not that much special with this character, right? And
yeah,
but the Joker has always had
strong enough.
Joker having the movement and DLC factor of, you know, obviously Arsene and all that shit. Like, it just, yeah, it makes for the longevity. Like,
I mean, so many Joker players would probably be confused at my statement because his dash grab and his grab in general is better than most characters, and they're still relying on it that much. And I just think that's a huge red flag, or they're still relying on his really good dash attack. And I just think so many players are refusing to reevaluate things. Just because I think it's exhausting to not just let an option rip.
Bro, it feels good. Come on. It feels fucking good to dash attack someone in the corner. Come on. That shit rules.
Pressing buttons.
Like, I love
pressing me some buttons.
It's not like I disagree with so many. Like, I, dude, Diddy Kong's dash attack is a drug. I be doing that. Like, it's really good. But
yeah,
to also credit myself, I'm still doing these options a lot less than other players. Like, and they are layered differently, but like, I'll still like do a bad monkey flip, you know, same thing as doing a bad dash grab. It's a much better move, so I can kind of cover myself, but I'm doing bad monkey flips. I'm monkey flipping into the corner without any layering and like upset with myself. I'm doing a bad dash attack once in a while when I feel like pressured. And you know, a lot of it stems from my own thought processes and like wanting to change up my own gameplay. You know, something that I think Palutena players do really well is the jab check, because it's such a beautiful middle ground between the strong options like dash attack and everything. Like, when a Palutena player, like, they're doing hiccups throughout their approaches, and they finally do like a dash jab, like, it is so good. The best players at like somehow still using this very simple gameplay but making the most of it and like layering it consistently, I think of Sonic's, with sometimes his neutral will change entirely and he'll use a lot of dash attack, dash grab, a jab one. He's playing the fastest character. There's always a preface here, but like, think about how good he's so good at that. We weren't seeing anyone play Sonic that like that, really. He's made the most of his jab and his dash attack. You know, I think of Zomba. Zomba is so good at simplifying the game state, and like, but at the same time, like, I would still really hope for him to adapt and adjust things and add some depth, but he's so good because Rob's always chipping away at your shield, right? So like, when you have a lower shield resource than your opponent, it opens things up for some of these simple things. And Zomba's so good at winning in these simplified game states. You know, Light, obviously, it's like what Fox does, but I still think it applies to everyone. Whether your character, it has bad or good tools, I think it applies, because it's just a mindset, and it's like, it goes a bit deeper than like the specific examples I was using. But yeah.
But I think even the example you use, or even those players, like, I think that's one of the things that makes Sonic's or Light, there's no real representatives of their characters doing it like them. And I think it's a part of it is that principle applies to them. You know what I mean? Any Fox can hit late dash attack into bear at the ledge. You know what I'm saying? But it's getting the hit that's the hard part, or setting up for it, or like layering to it. That's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, I think if I had to get one point across, it would probably just be the fact that your opponent's already preemptively playing around it just means the threat of it is more important than using it all the time. Like, just because you're already getting information immediately from its existence. And that's the most important point I would want to get across, but yeah. There's just so much. There's too much to talk about.
I woke up to violence on the timeline, man. I saw so many. That was crazy. Look what you did, Gav. Come on, man.
My bad.
Yeah, that's true. All good. And I think it's obviously always great to hear from you and your perspective and everything, but everyone who's playing the game has their own perspective and journey and all that stuff. And what you say is obviously very valuable given who you are and all that, and how much, I don't know if people really know how much you think about the game too. Still, like, just all the time you'd be thinking about the game and thinking crazy shit like this, like, just all the time.
I say something.
Retired, hang just, it up, man. You don't need
I just say something like in my Jesus head. It makes Christ. So much sense. And I say something and everyone's just like, what? Or they like tell me to shut up. Like, like,
well, that's ridiculous.
Which is cool when I say something and I work really hard and it gets across and I'm just like, yes. Like, finally.
You gotta, it's just so, when you talk to an audience or a community this big, it's just every single letter has an opportunity for someone to be like, this is dumb, you know, or this doesn't make any sense, or
this means something else entirely. Like,
totally. And
like, so many people were like, oh, so what you're telling me is this character sucks. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Completely, like,
I'm doing the I'm not talking about one simplifier. I'm talking about a general, I'm talking about Smash Bros conceptually and like how to, like, we're trying to figure out how to win consistently.
It's like, damn.
Okay, to be fair, Gavin, most people don't talk about Smash Bros conceptually.
I'm not so trying to like, tell
you. Also gave that, very concrete moves is what
you, yeah, and to, you said specific moves.
Yeah. I'm not trying to tell you your character is good or bad though. Like, Jesus.
I was like, damn, I'm a top level player. I never dash grab or dash attack. I fucking rule. Like, holy shit, insane. I'm awesome.
He's dangerous.
Yeah, I never dash attack with Ken when someone's in the corner. Guaranteed.
You also have your Richter has X Factor. I'm not gonna lie.
I do have the X Factor. That's true. Very dangerous. Dangerous Belmont.
You're dangerous. All the dangerous,
every time we see Gackt on stream, we say that. By the way, ugh, damn, that guy thinks I'm dangerous. Belmont. That shit is so funny. Does Gackt know? He should know. But that
he
really
probably
struck.
Doesn't remember he said that.
Oh, definitely not. He was just streaming Summit, and I was there being dangerous on my Belmont. You know.
As has usually does on
the worst funny. Possible person.
I was dash grabbing.
Dangerous, like the worst person. Like,
it's so funny.
As we'll never forget that.
Like, oh, it's so funny. Dude.
He had no idea what he was like. The rift that he caused. Like,
totally. Yeah. You know what's funny? Actually, speaking of Paris, I've been thinking. Stick with me here. This makes sense, and maybe it's adjacently related to what we just talked about. But since I've been playing Marvel Rivals, so Blade, like, his thing is he has this, he's like a like an assassin type character, you know, like he gets in and he fights, he's like a melee brawler, but he also has a gun, and you always want to dash in and attack with him, you know, and he builds stack and he gets more lifesteal and like attack, like all the shit, so you're always like, I want to fucking go in and I want to hit them, like it feels so like that's right, you know, so that's like your dash attack or whatever. But then I feel like Paris, because I always win more when I sit there and I'm fucking lame with the gun. When I sit back
shooting
and I'm
gun,
just fucking
baby.
Hiding and just shooting all day, and then one idiot on the other team overcommits, I'm like, all right, time to, it's go time. Like, yep. All right, let's go. That's it. I'm like, I feel like fucking Paris. I'm like, why don't I just sit back and shoot the gun? Every time I die on Blade, I'm like, why don't I just sit
think
back
about
and
how many times
gun?
Paris has said that and you just wanted to slap him in the face. Like, of course.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But now that it's like happening to me in another game, I'm like, oh, fuck. He's played way more Fox than I played this character. Damn it. Like, I think of him every time I charge in and die on Blade. I'm like, fuck, I should have shot the gun.
Yeah, should have shot the gun, man.
Paris getting
like,
killed.
What
by
a way to like simplify our entire like however long conversation we just had. But
yeah, right.
Yeah, just shoot the gun.
But and you're saying also that everybody is susceptible to this. Like, why doesn't Paris just shoot the gun? Why do you even do bad dash attacks or bad monkey flips? Right? Like, everyone hits those lazy habits every once in a while. It's not about like being perfect. It's about being more aware of it and doing it less.
There's so much context to everything. You need to consider like the pacing of the game and like how much pressure you're under, what you're looking for, like what information you've collected. Because, you know, I would never tell someone do this all the time, don't do this ever. Like, I think Smash is the exact opposite game to like, you don't talk
you
that
just,
way.
You just told us not to dash grab or dash attack.
But
I said if it's a
you said
part
bad.
Of your game plan, then you are behind in the meta.
So I've been ahead of the meta the whole time.
True,
great.
He did not tell us not to do these options.
That's great. Yeah. He just judges you for it.
Oh, I'm getting judged.
And, like, please, this is something I have a hard time explaining. But there is a difference between a dash attack or a dash grab that feels kind of lazy and when you hit, like, a good one and you're like, oh, that was, like, I had momentum and it's layered.
I got bad news for you, Gav.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, as someone who's not a top five player, I'll tell you, they all feel the fucking same when you hit them,
bro. I have no fucking
idea. Fuck
yeah,
that hit. Down tilt shore, you true. I condition that every time.
Like, I don't know.
No, I get what you're, I'm just giving.
There's two thoughts that come up. I'll dash attack and I'll be like, got him or fuck. Those are like just the two. It's either those two. Or... I'm a very simple man, Gavin.
But like, think about this.
You're thinking the right character.
True.
Like think when you're I lab those up, right? Like, let's say you're ledge trapping someone as Fox and you do a bunch of visual cues, you're pressuring, you're moving back and forth, and then like as they get up, you dash attack them because you feel like you restricted them and put pressure on them to get up. Like, that's the type of time where I think it gets you so much momentum and value, and it makes a lot of sense. Cause you were already winning anyway, too. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
you're in this good position. Or think about when I'm playing Diddy Kong, right? Like, think about just doing a monkey flip on a cornered opponent versus like holding banana, flickering pop gun, doing a bunch of things, like throwing the banana first, like that, there's a difference. And well, I don't know.
I think of the inverse too. Like, when you're on defense and someone just gives up the stage like that and just does something, you're like, all right, well, thanks for that. Feels good too. You're like, wow, that was bad. You know, you just move by it or whatever. You don't think so?
Sorry, can you like explain it again?
So think of it from the other way is what I'm saying, where if you are cornered or if you're in a bad spot,
anything go?
No, when they do a bad dash attack or they do a bad whatever, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, see you later.
Oh, exactly. Like, it's like the worst possible thing they can do.
Get out of jail for free, baby.
I'm
either going to steal center stage from them and they're cornered, or even
and
worse
you
for
dash
them,
attack.
I'm going to hit them with a punish that gets them killed for doing that specific
thing. Wait, what's the punish? What's the punish?
Though? Dash grab.
Dude, imagine trying to run up and dash attack or dash grab me, and I ne'er dare you as Diddy Kong. Like, you are going to not hate fun. Your life badly.
Yeah.
Like,
but if I do it again and it hits.
If see? It hits, though, yo.
Let's go gambling. It feels good.
Yeah.
See, okay,
I think that's a great way to boil it. That when you said it's a lazy, like, kind of thoughtless, like, feels good, like, potato chip option, like, you're just doing it and, like, just brainless. That makes a lot of sense. Like, I think it's more like it's not about never dash attacking or never dash grabbing. It's about making the ones that you do really count and about setting up for them rather than just it's almost
your,
like the cloud. I will back
starter. It's
I when, will back air because it's strong, or I will dash attack because it's strong. It's I'll get it when it really counts or when it really matters.
I have the information already. I'm in a certain position. They have less shield than me. Something like that, right? They're more likely to move and get hit by it.
I think a way to sum it up too is just like, instead of just straight up gambling in a lot of interactions, you can gather information and at least like take less gambles, but each gamble you have a bit more information. The bet is kind of like hedged a little bit more in your favor because you're going off of information instead of just like gamble, 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 gamble. It's like, okay, instead of gambling 5 times in this stock or 5 times when I get them cornered, I'll do it once after gathering information. Because another piece of advice that really stuck out to me when I like competed in Smash and just like would talk to Gavin about it is there'd be a lot of time since I studied the game so much, I'd be like, Gavin, I know what the fuck they're going to do. And like, I see that, like, I know they're going to do it. And then I see them do it. And then I try to punish, but I'm just off a little bit.
Yeah.
Spot dodge, cancel into fucking zero to death, into like whatever, right? And I'm like, it's so frustrating because like I put
it
so much.
It stemmed from you having the right mind, like training.
Right. So it's it feels like it's being reflected back to me, where it's like my knowledge is almost like a curse and it's getting me into these shit situations because I know I have frame advantage. I know I can get a dash attack there.
Yeah.
But like I just do it too slow and then I lose the stock. And I'm like, this person next to me might not even know that I knew that. Or if like this person literally just threw out a fucking lagless aerial, auto cancel aerial, went into spot dodge, and this is like year one or two of Ultimate, right?
And
so it's like, right. But like the piece of advice Gavin gave to me there was like, Charles, you don't always have to punish something. You know, you have like frame advantage to punish. Like it's okay. It's okay to take a pause. And it's not about like, cause Gavin was like, Charles, instead of like getting the punish there, you can gather information there. You can see what your opponent likes to do after doing a lagless aerial that could be punished. Right. So what's their auto instinct? And the answer, spot dodge. So there, like, instead of looking at that situation where you need to get a punish because you know you can get a punish, and it's like also just like understanding like, oh, this is tournament. You might not be reacting as fast. You might be nervous, right? Take a second. see what your opponent does instead. Like you can take these opportunities instead of like my brain is like on paper, I get damage, but not every situation in tournaments on paper. Actually, I'll tell you everyone from my personal experiences throughout competing many Smash titles, I would say 80% of the experiences you have in tournament are not going to be on paper scenarios. They're going to be like these weird scrambles. They're going to be filled with different emotions. Like just sometimes taking a second and being like, okay, I'm going to gather information here instead of like getting the punish I should be getting, or
getting a hit doesn't always mean you're right.
Yes.
And you know, it's not about right or wrong. And it's like, let's use that example, right? They do aerial spot dodge. You dash up in the moment and you're looking for the third option and you're gathering information. You're putting that pressure on them and you get to choose where to position yourself because they're stationary and you're not. And it snowballs from there. And even though we were kind of just insulting this hypothetical player's intelligence, they probably know what they're doing. And it's one of those things where you're dashing up. And in that moment, they know they're making a mistake, vaguely. They probably do know they're making a mistake when they do that spot dodge and they can see that you're actionable. They probably know they're punishable and that they're making a mistake. A lot of the time, not punishing them and just showing them and observing is just as valuable as hitting them, because they kind of scramble to get comfortable again because they know they did something wrong. It's like, this is so silly, but it's like, if a dog does something they know they shouldn't do and you like catch them in the act, right? And they get all scared and they like, you know what I'm talking about?
Right, right. Like they know they messed up. They know,
yeah,
they
like
messed up.
When you're like with your pet and they know they messed up. And like a lot of the time you can do that in Smash, it sounds so insulting. Jesus Christ.
Right.
So
like when my opponent tries to dash attack me and it whiffs, so there's no treats for them after the match. There's no treats.
Like
no good boy treats.
Like it's so hard to explain, but
it's conditioning. You're talking about conditioning.
No. They know that they made a mistake. And a lot of the time seeing the process that happens a few times after that is so valuable. And you can argue it's even more valuable than punishing that initial mistake. And it'll influence how they play the rest of the match, just because you're showing so much. You're showing that you're calm and that you're not afraid. Like you had an opportunity, but you're not even taking that. When I'm playing against someone that has an opportunity and they don't even take it, I'm worried about them because they know what they're doing. Like they're showing so much control over themselves and their character. And I've talked about this in so many ways. Like, let's say you're fighting Rob, right? And you're cornered and they go for that back air so juicy for them, right? They want to end the game and they don't do it. Instead, they pressure you in the corner. They're shooting the gyro at your shield. Like that is so much scarier because they're keeping you cornered. They're getting that information. They're not forcing anything. They're not spot dodging. And that's just been my mindset a lot of the time is I'll watch you do three or four things rather than trying to punish the first or second thing, because I know what I'm capable of and I know I'll have more opportunities to hit you and I don't even need to hit you to win. Like you will lose to yourself probably right now. You know what I mean? So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. No, it's
sorry. I'm not calling anyone a dog, by the way.
That was insane.
Yeah, I can't believe you called me a dog. That's crazy.
I know.
Like when you're self-aware,
you play against this guy, Charles. You see what he's thinking.
When you make a mistake and you're self-aware about it, like it feels like shit. Like,
what if you're not though? I think that's a part of the problem is that people don't. Damn it, that dash attack missed. Well, I'll get up with the next one.
It works in both ways though. If they don't know, it's scary to enter their space because you don't even know what's going on. But they'll still lose to themselves if you don't interact with it because they don't know what's going on and you do because you play Smash. Like, it is what it is.
Right, and they're just a dog.
No.
How could they can't play Smash? Pause. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think because Ultimate is a game that I would say of all the Smash games I've played like competitively, which would be Brawl all the way up until Ultimate.
Yeah.
Ultimate's definitely the one with the most scrambles for sure. Yeah. It's like very fast paced comparatively. Like I've recently like booted up Smash 4 and just played with friends just for fun. I'm like, oh, I mean, we played, me and Haz played it.
But my Duck Hunt, true.
True, true. And like, even when we were playing, we haven't played that game in so long, but it was so much easier to play because it's so much slower. I was like, man, I wish Smash games were slower so old people like us could like play. God damn. I will say Ultimate is very fun because of how fast it is, but it's also, to me, that's what makes it really hard when you can't like put a lot of time into it, because
people fall into the speed when they shouldn't be.
Yes. Yes. I think the speed almost like traps you into certain things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The game tricks you into playing a certain way. You start spot dodge canceling and like whiffing a lot.
You always feel like you need to be inputting something, but so sometimes players, like you can just get tricked, not do anything.
They get tricked by the game. They get tempted by the speed.
It's fighting it in control, similar to what you're saying, Gavin, that is so impressive to me. Like when a top player, like if I'm watching a stream or casting and a top player just stands there and does nothing and watches you spot dodge like an idiot, I'm like, holy fuck, like that was really good. Like that's because it's so similar to this fucking dash attack or dash grab thing. It's so enticing to just, I'm close to you. This is a good button to hit in this scenario. I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Which again, sorry to always bring this up, but that's why I thought Jazzo's run was so impressive too. I thought he did such a good job in those types of scenarios. And with Ken, you have to continually read your opponent's options. And Ken is a frame two down tilt that leads into fucking 30%. You know, it's hard not to hit that button and mash it brainlessly all the time. It's really, really tempting to do that all the time. But when you wait and you hit things like max range F tilt instead, or you wait and you get a parry or some shit, like, and it leads into other stuff, that's when the real magic happens. And that, I think, is the core of what you're trying to get at, is don't, again, the potato chip thing or whatever you want to call it. Don't just eat the potato chips because they're right there and it's easy. It's like, that's not great food, you know, like
unless they're baked.
Make a meal, you know what I'm saying? Cook something good. Yeah. You could DoorDash if you want, but it's like, hey, hold on a second. Maybe we could do something better here.
And it's not necessarily bad to like spot dodge after a lagless area. Obviously, like spot dodge canceling is something unique to Ultimate. It's very strong. And I don't think it's necessarily bad to throw the check out. Like if someone is so so tunnel vision on getting certain punishes and stuff like that, I think throwing out that check here and there is not a bad thing at all. But even like it's just like when a top player throws out that check and the other top player just looks at him, it's kind of like sending a message in a sense where it's like, if you do that again, I'm going to blow you up. And the thing about top level players too, it's like when these top players get their openings, it's not just like, oh, ow, 12 damage, like owie. No, it hururts a lot. Yeah. The conversions are on point.
And that's the bad thing.
You don't even have to be a top level.
That's the scary thing about these burst options.
So high.
When you do these burst options, you get stuck where you make the decision, like at the end of your decision. And they're jumping above you, and you are going to get hit by the worst combo ever. You know what I mean? Like
you said, you're about to enter the training room combo.
Yeah, like you are timing my combo for me by being here for 30 to 40 frames, whatever. So, Smash is cool, and
it is.
Please don't think I'm telling you to never do X or Y option ever again.
You said literally we were chatting before we hopped on the call before we hopped in for the podcast chat, and you said, I'll never tell somebody to not do something in Smash. Like, don't limit yourself in that way, which is obviously funny after you made this tweet about how you judge people for dash attacking and stuff. but seriously, it's not about never doing it. It's about doing it at the appropriate times. And you're not saying that you have never had a bad dash attack or whiff. A bad time, of course.
I do the same ones as anyone else, and I'm just like,
the idea is to do those bad committal things less and only when you're feeling really good about it hitting.
I let that bad spot dodge rip, I let that bad dash tech rip, and I'm just like, I regret it. But I do know at the end of the day, I do them a lot less than a lot of people, and it does help with the success.
You should never stop doing it though. There's still good options. Like, there's a reason why these options are being done. You know, it's funny. I remember when I first started coaching in TSM, one of my first pieces of advice was like, I was like, yo, Gavin, you got to at least do one get up attack here and there, bro. Like, Gavin would never, ever, ever.
It's the scrubby option. It's the scrubby option.
And sometimes you got to bring it all the way back to layer one, baby. Like, you got to bring out like the week one, the day one. Like, sometimes you just got to. You got to let them know, like, hey, I will at least, like, sometimes do this. Because I'd watch Gavin getting ledge trap. I'm like, man, they're just constantly throwing out meaty aerials over and over, and you never get up attack. Like, you, I told him, I was like, at least once a set, I told him, I was like, I don't care when in the set you do it, but just please show me one, like, get up attack from the ledge or whatever. But yeah, it's like, it's funny how everything will eventually revert back to layer one, but it's just like Gavin said, there's never a right or wrong answer in Smash. Everything's evolving, everything's changing, right? So it's more of just like keeping your viewpoint of the game up to date, I think, is like the theme of this whole rant.
All right.
So and be willing to reevaluate something that feels, something might feel really simple and core to like your game, but be willing to consider reevaluating anything, even something as simple as a dash attack. You know what I mean? Like, consider reevaluating it. Like, I recently changed my entire ledge trapping philosophy with Diddy Kong. Like, literally within the last couple weeks, I changed it completely. I'm not saying
your ass retired. What the heck?
Yeah. I'm not saying I won't go back to other things.
What the fuck?
But I've been trying something entirely different with Diddy Kong's ledge trapping recently, which seems like you would just, you either do it right or wrong, and you have the things you've practiced for 5+ years. But like, I'm just, I always reevaluate things, for better or worse, I guess. I even started doing something entirely different in neutral that I'm experimenting with. Sometimes I've lost for it. Sometimes it's really helped. Yeah, I don't know. But Diddy Kong's dash attack is really tempting. So, you know, sometimes I'll just do the simple layer one dash attack into back air. Feels good.
It does. So
it's a really broken move, but like there's, you know.
So that was it for Tweet Talks this week. We talked about dash attack and dash grab. Next week, we'll get down tilt and forward tilt.
We'll talk about jab one specifically.
Ooh, jab one. That's a good one.
Actually, jab two. Sorry.
All right. Now you've infected the podcast, too, with this infectious gym all over this podcast and the timeline. Shout out to Yara. I don't know. We don't have a ton of time to talk about it, but I am just such a fan of the way that dude plays Smash Bros. Again, just breaking the mold of Samus is, I mean, talk about very basic cookie cutter options that are tempting. Samus is like a poster child for those things. Why not just down beat the ledge? Fuck yeah, that rules.
Why not shoot and the charge shot right into the bounce? Why not?
Ball.
Okay, hold on. Charge shot of the bounce, insane reference. Smash World Tour? Yeah?
No, I can't remember.
Is that not Smash World Tour? I think it was. I thought it was.
I can't remember what tournament.
That shit was insane.
But don't worry, I won't say the player.
That's funny because it was also Hero versus Samus coming into winners finals of this tournament. But I just think, like, I just really just want to reiterate that I'm such a Yara fan based on the way he plays the game, even though he's on a character that I fucking hate. Like, I hate that character. I never thought I'd be sitting here admitting that I really enjoy watching a Samus player play, but it is what it is. Like, you just gotta give respect. And he's one of the, is he the best Samus? Right? I think he is, right? Maybe. I don't know. I don't keep up with Samus rankings.
I mean, if you're getting results like that in Japan, I'm just gonna assume you're the going
yeah,
to be
you're the guy,
Samus. Yeah,
right.
So, smooth movement, man. Love the movement,
platform movement, everything. Like decision making, it's just so it's so good. And it doesn't. The thing that always crosses me up, and I think something that makes me a good caster, is I can see or follow the way players are thinking and what they're gonna do next. And when a player mixes me when I'm watching, I'm like, fuck, they're doing something. They're doing especially the character like Samus. Like Samus, you know, Bayo, like characters I know well and have watched a lot of, or I don't, even Olimar at a certain point, I'm like, I know what they fucking are looking for here. But it's like, he never zares in those spots. You know what I mean? Like his tech chases are so godlike. Like he goes for crazy things, like jump one way and then double jump, fastball the other way, down air, like just cover. It's like, damn, he got a down air out of that shit. Every other Samus doing up air. You know what I mean? Like it's so crazy. So when I get mixed, I'm impressed, especially with a character like Samus. So I just want to say shout out to Yara and shout out to our boy Hurt, of course, taking out another tournament, playing exceptionally well. He's back on his game. It seems like he's really back to form, which is great after his 2-week vacation or whatever he had. So it's good. Always love seeing Hurt do well. So that's great. And I have Collision this weekend. I've been thinking about it. Hey. None of you guys are going to be there. It's weird. It's weird because we just went to Supernova where it was all four of us. And now it's none of the Tweak Talks guys, and it's different, man. It's different. So L you guys, but I'm excited. Oh, Gavin, will you coach me again?
I wish we could go. It's a great event.
I'm doing not about dash grabs or dash attacks. I know what to do there.
You better start using Richter's dash attack.
Ken's dash attack is way funnier because like it's there's funny. Literally no reason to use it actually to end in a crescent combo, but that's not
make a montage about. Of you just doing dash grab and dash attack and like winning.
Dude, that's really
the montage funny. Of them is funny.
That would be really good. Just whipping them all and dying.
Dying horribly would be even funnier.
Take like the Richter sound effect where he dies in like symphony or whatever. No, and he's just dying over and over. Will you coach me before top eight? So the tricky thing is, I don't know exactly where I'm going in the bracket, but I'm not, and I hate this. I really wish I could do something about it, but it's all good. I'm not gonna be able to prep like I normally do because I have no idea who's gonna be casting the part of the bracket I'm in. It's like top eight or whatever. And it goes from top 32 to top eight on that day. So we're going to have to hop on your stream and talk about the matches that are coming up and what we need to be prepared for, because that'll help me a lot.
Sure.
You heard it here. He committed. And you're restreaming the event, right?
Sunday for sure, at the minimum.
I have many jokes to make about dash attacks. But it's crazy.
He should have dash attacked.
He missed it. Wait, he dash grabbed when he should have dash attacked. That's the problem. It's like, you know the South Park episode where he's the ski instructor, pizza french fry? No, you pizza when you should have french fried.
French fried, yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's you with dash attacks.
Exactly.
But I guarantee you, even if people disagree with you or didn't understand your point, they're going to fucking see it more when people whiff or have bad dash attacks.
Maybe.
Or bad dash grabs. Yeah, your influence, unfortunately. Great. Well, there's that. Yara, shout out to Yara. Shout out to Dash Attack. Anything else, Gav?
Shout out to burst options.
Yikes. Shout out to burst options. Shout out to
sword characters Metafy. Being playable.
Your Metafy. This honestly, we don't even have like
super I might get way less
like this too often. So
no one's gonna book lessons with me because I look like a crazy person now.
No, trust me.
I think people like it. I like it.
This guy's crazy. I'm not booking with him.
This guy's an idiot. He just thinks about dash attacking. What the hell's wrong with
him? I'm going to pay money. He's going to tell me not to dash attack or dash grab.
But yeah, I do. Yeah. I do coach Smash Ultimate. Metafly.gg/@tweak. We do Patreon bonus content every week over on the Patreon. I do talk about a lot of vague topics by myself on there. And I've received a lot of nice support and comments when it comes to that, so thank you. One of the cool things we did was people on social media were talking about Falco, I think, and like since day one of Ultimate, everyone hates Falco. They hate playing against Falco. Falco's like weirdly hated despite not being like a tournament winning character, and I went on a rant about why I think people hate Falco in Ultimate and why they suck against him. And why I think Falco kind of sucks. So stuff like that. If you're interested, patreon.com/tweaktalks.
We're giving you a hard time, but he is a great coach. As Charles said, he's given Charles great advice over the every time we play. Gavin says something new about the way I play, and it changes the way I think about the game. And if y'all are like, he's spamming out dash attack and dash grab, if he's thinking about those two things this much, imagine what he could do with an entire VOD that you supply to him. Am I right?
I do enjoy the VOD review. Yeah, thank you very much.
And it is a unique thing because most top players, I'll just say this through my experience of competing within like current Smash game. Most top players that will beat your ass, you'll like ask for advice or just talk to them about the game. And the knowledge isn't too deep, and it's more of just like they are really good at the game and they can just execute it. I will say, Gavin, of all the competitors I've had, you know, the joy of working with or talking to about the game, he has a very deep understanding of the game. So
thank you.
And also, I don't know if you uploaded them yet, but I was able to record a couple of lights off stream, like pools matches at Supernova as well. So fun matches to watch. Yeah. And those are getting uploaded to Gavin's Patreon as well.
Yeah. They have not been uploaded yet. That will probably be the thing you see this week. If anyone's interested in seeing some off stream matches from Light, he's probably gonna use a lot of dash attack, but
oh whoopsie.
Maybe sprinkle in a dash grab, true.
It kind of goes against everything I just said, but he's gonna be very good at it when you watch. Thank you so much for supporting the show as always, and have a good one.